Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, some other guys I thought who stood out in the game.
There's a long list.
It is. I mentioned Jameer Jones, number 44.
He really stands out.
He's a player.
Yeah.
He's a player. I don't know how you keep him off this roster.
I don't either. I mean, what stands out to me, in addition to being he clearly belongs on the defense, he hustles to the ball as much as anyone on that defense, and he's making plays on special teams.
Right.
So how does he not make the 53 and be active on game day, to me? I mean, as an edge player, you mentioned, you know, history at Notre Dame, was a true defensive end, hand in the dirt, going against McGlinchey and Nelson and all those linemen they've put out. It shows he's strong. He comes from a college weight program, keeps himself very square to the line of scrimmage. I think he's really good. I mean, I think he's better than the Olas and Chicks of the world is where I go with him. You know what I mean?
You know. So, you know, all of a sudden now you look at it, man, like, who doesn't make, you know.
Who doesn't make the team, right?
I mean, I didn't think Marsh was going to make it as soon as they signed Ingram.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, that's done. Roche's a sixth-round draft pick. They keep four. It's Roche's. Like,
Marsh hasn't been bad.
Marsh hasn't been. He's done nothing wrong.
He's done nothing wrong, right.
Roche's done nothing wrong.
But Roche's done nothing wrong. He had another half sack.
Yeah. I mean, this guy might be better, though.
I said this to open the show. I bet the defensive coaches are a little unhappy that the Steelers dominated the second half so much. Because they only got to see like a dozen players.
Some of these guys, yeah.
Right. I mean, we didn't see enough of all these guys we're talking about who played well on defense, who didn't in the second half. They didn't play on the second half.
It's funny you mentioned, like, I had, again, somebody, a guy during the live chat complaining about Loudermilk. Loudermilk's just, he's too small, he's too weak, he can't do anything. And immediately right after that, Loudermilk has half sack, batted down a pass like he was playing volleyball.
Right.
Like, guy can play.
He can play. There's something there. You know, I'm talking about for the regular season. If him and Cam Hayward and Tua walked in the room, he's not as thick as those guys, I'm sure, or as powerful. Few are, by the way. I mean, Cam's bull rush is like the best in the league.
It's the best, best in the league, and Tua might be the strongest guy on his feet.
right. So this guy's going to fill out. I mean, he's already making plays. He keeps people off his body well. He moves well. He doesn't play super high for being
6'7".
6'7", with a high center of gravity like that. So
I couldn't believe that the guy said the guy who's 6'7", 293 pounds is too small.
Too small. Right.
Too small.
I mean, he looks a little thin for an
interior.
He's 6'7", and he's going to be 300 pounds a year from now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's a project for another day, but he's showing up now.
And he's going to be on your roster. He has to be.
Roster. Yeah.
You can't expose that guy now. Like, all the teams that passed on him in a draft are going, oh, hey, this guy, did you see what he's been doing in his preseason? Like,
just because you and I didn't know a ton about him when they made the pick because Mel and Todd and these people weren't all over him doesn't mean the rest of the league didn't.
Yeah.
Or took notice that the Steelers, a smart organization, traded up in the fifth round to go get this guy, who they definitely had a grade on. He's not passing through waivers.
No.
I mean, do you think the Texans are not going to pick him up?
Yeah. Did you notice they used Carlos Davis on kickoff?
Yes, I did. It's a good sign for the young man.
It's a good sign for him.
He can run.
I had Mondu on my initial 53-man roster, and I'm like, okay. Now they're using Carlos Davis for that. Davis is a true nose tackle on kick return,
right?
Kick coverage.
I mean, the nose tackle position's changed over the years here, without question. I don't think Hampton was running down on kickoff coverage.
No.
And this guy ran a 4.85 or a 4.9, and was a track athlete. Him and his twin brother. I mean, they were really accomplished. Discus.
I think it was shot.
Yeah,
discus,
I mean, so they're
that kind of stuff.
Explosive athletic types,
right?
But when you see that, take notice. I mean, they're not doing that as a fun little – there's not many kickoffs in preseason to try new things. So they make them all count.
Yeah, so I thought that was interesting.
But that's a crowded room.
It's a very crowded room. I mean, I would
– I don't know who you could get onto the practice squad.
I was reading a thing – Bob Labriola, our colleague, does a question, a Q&A with Mike Tomlin before every game. And he asked Mike about that – you know, who's that, those extra defensive linemen?
Because we haven't seen the top three at all.
I thought Tomlin's answer was interesting in that he said, you know, if you look at Davis and Bugs, They both have a different skill set. He said, mm-hmm. Tomlin said that he thinks Davis is the better pass rusher, which I thought was kind of surprising.
I think he's got a better get off.
He thought Bugs is better against a run.
Okay. Do you think Bugs is the thicker, stronger sit down player? Where Davis is a little more of an upfield penetrator.
I think so, yeah.
Okay. I could see that, yeah.
Bugs led Alabama in sacks his last
year
there. Yeah.
I mean, they had guys.
They had guys, yeah. The answer, the final answer to the question was, so you look at it from the perspective of, okay, the secondary things that they do well. So you're looking then at how Davis plays the run mm-hmm. versus how Bugs rushes the passer.
Right.
One of those? The way he said is with they're equal on equal footing in terms of one's good here in pass rush, the other one's good in run defense.
Okay.
Is the weakness stronger than the other guy's weakness?
Good way of putting it. I mean, like I'm sure, and they can have you know, if you're both on the roster. And your starters aren't there. Well, Isaiah, you got the early downs, and Davis, you got the late downs. You don't have that luxury with your fifth and sixth defensive linemen,
no.
though.
They're either on the field or
they're not. They're not going to be situational. They're not going to throw them out there in third and eight because they're still not going to be like Cam Hayward. There's too many people ahead of them for
right.
that to work. Kind of an odd question because I want to talk about all these guys' performance in the game. Barry, Warmly, Marsh, Samuels. Can any of those yield a seventh-round pick in return? Dobbs?
Maybe this isn't even another name.
I think Barry could.
I think there's enough. They traded Brad Wing a couple years ago.
Yeah, that's true. He's one of the best 32 in the league.
There are teams out there looking for punters. There are teams out there looking for kickers.
Yeah. Maybe that's why What's-His-Face is still floating around here.
Yeah, I mean, I think you hold on to Sloman as long as you can.
Yeah.
And hey, look, he's made kicks in the league mm-hmm. in the regular season. He's not been. Yeah, he missed a couple kicks in the Hall of Fame game.
That didn't help.
But
they kept him around.
He was fine this past game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if somebody wants to give you a seventh round pick for a guy like that, okay.
Yeah.
You know,
right.
or a sixth round pick, you recoup the one that you just traded. traded.
That'd be ideal.
Either way, I mean, even if it's if you get a seventh round pick that replaces a sixth round pick you just gave up for Schobert.
Yeah. Oh, you just take anything you get for a guy you're going to cut anyway. You know,
because. You know, I think one of the things that, you know, or a guy like Warmly, a team may say, well, we don't want to get into a bidding war for him.
Because he's going to get picked up.
Because somebody's going to claim him. He's a veteran. He has to go through waiver.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And he doesn't play bad in the preseason.
No.
But he looks fine out there.
Yeah.
You know,
so
they gave him money.
I think you're definitely, if you're Kevin Colbert, over these next 2 weeks, you're working the phones going, okay, here's what we've got.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we wouldn't mind getting a draft pick back.
Or you swap them for a free safety that's in the same regard. Or you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I think those guys are assets that maybe yield something back in return.
Yeah.
Just interesting. And these things have a way of working themselves out. Somebody, unfortunately, will get hurt. It sounds like they've stayed very injury-free through two games. You know, if one of those D linemen go down, well, the conversation gets a lot easier. And someone won't play quite as well and their stock will drop. You know, like things change pretty quick.
Let's talk about the tight end position.
All right.
I think Kevin Rader's better than Zach Gentry.
I do, too. I think it's gotten to the point of what's more important to you, this project that you spent a draft pick on that hasn't gone swimmingly, or who can help me beat the Bengals in week 7.
Which one of them is a better blocker?
Who's better on game day?
It's Rader.
He's got to be the better special teamer, too.
Yeah.
Has to be. I mean, I haven't studied that. He's a way better blocker. He's not a liability catching the ball either. I mean,
yeah.
He's not Lee Smith.
It's your third tight end. You're not going to throw a bunch of passes to your third tight end.
No. I mean, it would be nice to have a heavy set where your tight end's a plus blocker.
Yeah.
Ebron and Freiermuth aren't yet.
They're not.
And
no.
Ebron never will be. And Freiermuth isn't yet. Gentry isn't either. You know, I would think Rader would be out there in goal line.
Yeah.
You know, and it doesn't mean he can't turn around and catch a touchdown, too, 2 yards in the end zone.
Yeah, but I think he's the better player. I thought it last year.
Yeah.
I think I thought it the year before that, too.
Say, he's come up a few times.
Now it's become clear, though. I don't think the coaching staff can ignore it anymore.
I'd much rather have Rader on game day.
Yeah.
I mean, I think he does more things for you. I can't think of many situations where I want Gentry on the field on game day.
Yeah.
Including special teams.
Unless you're playing basketball.
That would be nice. Yeah, volleyball, or right, yeah.
Yeah, I just think that's the, you know.
I assume he's still practice squad eligible, and you could bring him back if you care to or not.
Yeah.
Whatever. Use a second-round pick on the position.
I don't know that somebody's going to run in and scoop up Zach Gentry off the practice squad. I just think he's a better player.
I do, too. I think he shows it time and time again. I mean, having a blocker there is useful if you are really going to run
especially
the ball more.
Especially since you don't have a blocker with the other guys.
No, you
don't. Your third guy has to be a blocker. That doesn't mean that when cutdown starts, you don't find a blocker.
I mean, yeah, those guys.
There may
exist.
Be somebody out there because not every team is looking for a blocker at the tight end position.
No, but situationally, the Steelers could use it for sure. They sure seem to have gotten away from six offensive linemen. I mean, I don't know if that's a thing of the past.
I just think it's preseason.
Yeah,
I don't think you show it a whole. You know, I think it's in your hip pocket
because
you only have so many offensive linemen.
Right, and they've been injured too.
And you know that they're going to those offensive linemen are going to play 35 snaps each.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to throw another 10 snaps on top of that. That's always available to you. Hague's already done it.
Yeah, right.
You know.
I just think Moore would be great for
Moore would
him.
Moore would be a guy that you could
get him some snaps
do that
on
with.
You know, with the regular team. He's a good athlete. I think Moore's looking good too. We were talking O-line earlier and didn't bring his name up.
Yeah. So I think that's something that you can run out there first week against, they've got 12 days between the time that they play the Bills, the last cutdowns, and then
there's a lot of practice time in there, and they're thinking about those 12 days now. I mean, they're scheming up what they're going to do for that, pregame.
Oh, without a doubt.
They're watching Bills tape, and right.
They'll even spend some days here upcoming if they haven't already working on some Bills type stuff. They may not tell the players necessarily,
right.
Like, hey, this is what we're going to do in week one against the Bills, but you're repping some things in practice that you're going to use against the Bills.
Yeah. That is that time of year.
So,
I think the tight end position is kind of clear.
Yeah, I think it is too. We'll see if that works out that way. But to me, I think it's pretty easy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's hard to give up on a draft pick. I understand that logic, but this team, more so than most, will put the best guys on the roster and not. They put their ego aside. We missed on him, so what? His fifth-round pick. Move on.
In the secondary, you giving the two guys that had interceptions in that game any credit for the interceptions?
Lane's now made two big plays.
Two takeaways in the preseason goes a long way.
Yeah. I mean, it's hard to ignore because he does have some pedigree. He sure seems like a very good special teams player. I mean, he gets down there well.
Yeah.
And so I think that project is continue to keep working on. Again, I hate commenting on him because there's still not many snaps in a Steeler uniform for me to watch and evaluate Lane. So it's a little bit of an incomplete grade.
Well, some fans in five snaps, they can tell you.
Yeah, he's done. He was a bust.
I
wonder, though, Pierre with Sutton on the inside – versus Sutton on the outside and Brooks, Millett,
We need to see Brooks on the field. I think they like Brooks.
Right.
I
think Brooks is way ahead of Millett, don't you?
Yeah.
Like, he's the starter.
Yeah, I believe right now if they started the season, that would be the alignment.
Yeah.
Especially since you're playing in the opener, the Bills, who have a quarterback that runs a lot.
Oh, yeah.
You want somebody on the inside who's physical.
Yeah, he's hard to get on the ground.
Yeah.
He's a big, strong runner.
That's the one thing I think, when they talk about looking.
They're also going to play a ton of four receiver sets, so all these guys are going to play.
Yeah. But when you're looking at when they say they want to replicate what Mike Hilton was to a certain degree, that's Brooks.
In terms of the physicality.
The physicality.
Right.
That's not Sutton.
No. And I don't think it's
He's a different, either. I think Sutton's a different slot corner.
Mm-hmm. You think Millett's in trouble?
Potentially.
I don't know. He's done a lot
I don't
to say
know
you
that
have
he's,
to have him.
Yeah, I don't know that you have to have that guy on the team. And again, if you're looking at, some of these guys, do they want to keep one of the other young cornerbacks?
I was thinking like Shakir Brown.
Right.
He's a great special teamer.
Yeah, he didn't do much in this last game. I think he got a little nicked up in that one. I saw him coming off at the end of the game.
I thought that too.
Had a little bit of a limp there. You can't afford to have those kind of issues.
It's tough
if you're fighting for that spot.
Right. That doesn't mean you can't end up on the practice squad and be back in camp next year or whatever. But ideally, you'd love to say, okay, we're going to play the whole second half in the slot, Shakir, and you know, see if you can do that.
And that's what the Brooks injury was going to do that for him.
Right.
Yeah.
I was thinking that too. But I do think they're happier with Brooks than maybe we let on.
Oh, yeah. I definitely think that they like what they've seen from Brooks. Lafayette Pitts was the guy who had the other interception. I thought he made a nice play on the ball there.
Yeah. I don't know that I bump him up huge, but maybe he gets 10 more snaps next game than I thought.
He's played 40 games in the NFL.
Has he played that much?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like he's some slappy that they were throwing out there.
No, right.
You know, I think there's, you know, that's the kind of guy that you have on your practice squad.
With an injury, you can call him up and you know what he is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, he can come in, play special teams for you. It's not going to be that, you know, that big of a deal for you. That's probably how he's earned his spot in the league. And
that's hard for us to comment on, even being to practice every day. It's hard to tell who the best special teamers are.
I got asked that a lot. Like, well, you know, what have you seen from the special teams in the first two games? I'm like, a lot of different bodies.
A lot.
You know, they're throwing a lot of different guys out there.
Yeah.
This will be the week. This is the week.
This is
the
starter
you
week.
You really got to pay attention this week. Who's out there with the starters? Who's out there as your number one special teams units and those things?
You need to start firming that up.
Because they're playing this like they're playing a regular game.
Right.
This is the dress rehearsal.
You're not worried about Shakir Brown hitting hurt if he's one of your best special teamers. Do you want to put him out there? You know.
Yeah.
No, that makes perfect sense. Norwood, you think he's guaranteed a spot? I mean, he had a rough outing. I don't know that he's ready to be a free safety. He hasn't done a lot of that in his life. I think there's reason to be excited about him as a Steeler going forward, but he was exposed a little bit.
A little bit, but I think that's a learning experience for a young player. He's made enough plays for me in practice and stuff. He's got good ball skills.
Yeah.
I think there's enough there that you keep him around.
It's one of those arguments like you see with quarterbacks around the league, like, if you lose Minka, you're in big trouble no matter what. And you got to trade. I mean, you probably have to play a lot more too high. You'd have to change what you do because he's a special player, you know.
Yeah, that to me is the big thing there. I think you hang with that. And he's promising enough that, you know.
Again, I don't know how good he is on special teams, but hopefully good.
Yeah. So, anyways, let's take another break.
Okay.
When we come back, Adam Rittenberg of ESPN has broken down. He says Carson Strong and some other quarterbacks who could be the next surprise of the NFL draft. We'll talk about those guys right after this.
You're listening to the official voice of Black and Gold Nation.
Beloved Black and Gold.
SNR.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. And Matt, as I mentioned, Adam Rittenberg on ESPN has done a little piece here on Carson Strong and other quarterbacks who could be the next surprise of the NFL draft. When he talks about surprise of the NFL draft,
right?
It's the guys who were maybe considered a...
They're on everyone's list.
Yeah, they're there. You know, when you look at it...
Well, here's the examples. Baker Mayfield was never expected to be the first overall pick this time in his college career.
Joe Burrow was like a third-round pick going into his last
maybe
year.
Maybe a sixth.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz wasn't even on these lists, you know, the quote experts were. Goff was a sort of unknown. Kyler Murray was an Oakland A. You know?
Like, yeah, right.
There was, and those were all first overall picks or second overall picks. So the top of the draft has been really interesting lately. It's not like Lawrence, who, since he's been in high school, everyone thought he was first overall pick. Trey Lance is one of those guys.
Yeah.
So things change a lot, and there's a lot of history for it, and this is prominent for the Steelers.
He mentions Carson Strong in his headline. I believe it's the Nevada quarterback.
I think he's there. Yeah. There's a lot of buzz about him.
Yeah. He's number four on Kuiper's list of 2022 quarterback draft prospects behind Liberty's Malik Willis, Oklahoma's Spencer Rattler.
Is he Willis one?
What's that?
Does he have Willis 1?
He has Willis 1.
That's the highest I've seen him.
Yeah.
He's a really intriguing, super athlete, Auburn transfer guy.
Yeah.
Who's like a Lamar. I mean, he's a massive talent as an athlete.
And then Sam Howell out of North Carolina. Mm-hmm. Those are your top five guys.
Most people have Rattler 1. And he's a... You hear these... Comparisons are terrible. But he's the Mahomes style.
Yeah.
You know, he's a real... Wild card, aggressive, not massive, moves well, quick release. We've seen that you mentioned Oklahoma, Hurts, Baker, Kyler have all been super high picks in this system. It's very quarterback friendly. And then Howe often gets compared to Mayfield as a sturdy, good arm. He's losing.
Not Denami great Brown. Size.
Not great size, but I mean, he looks like a first round pick as quarterbacks go. And you know, even if he's a 50th best player, it means he's a first round pick. You know what I mean? And then I mentioned the dude at Liberty too. He's
Malik Willis.
Yeah, he's very intriguing.
He's another one. He's 6'1", 215 pounds. So you look at him, you go, okay, is he big enough to play quarterback in the NFL?
Sure. I don't know how big Lamar is, but it's probably similar.
Yeah. I think Lamar might be a little taller. Maybe a little taller, but thinner.
Mm-hmm.
But he had 80 rushing yards, at least 80 rushing yards, seven times last year, and averaged 320.4 yards per game, total yards.
Yeah, yeah. He's got a real loose arm. I watched a highlight tape of him not long ago. He can really sling it. As you would imagine, he's super raw. He's at Liberty. You know, he transferred out of Auburn. But had a huge year last year and won some games single-handedly for Liberty.
Yeah.
Exactly now, what you want to see.
They play Alabama-Birmingham this year. They play Ole Miss this year. Mm. And they have a home game against Louisiana, which you wouldn't say, well, Louisiana. Louisiana's putting a bunch of guys in the NFL all of a sudden.
They recruit better players.
Including Kevin
Liberty
Dotson,
does.
Yeah. So they got some dudes.
They'll be a dog against Louisiana.
Yeah. So that'll be some games to watch of him.
But Strong is a guy that's getting a lot of buzz, too. Tough guy, pocket passer, all the intangibles, good tools as well. But this class right now, I'm doing a little more work than I usually do this time of year, obviously for Steeler reasons.
Yeah.
There seems like there's seven or eight guys that you don't have to squint real hard that could be in the first round conversation. I don't know it'll be as good as like last year's class.
Right.
I mean, there's no Fields or Lawrence or they're no brainer top 10 picks every year.
But there might be by the end of the season.
But there absolutely will be, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know, some of them get manufactured.
The next guy that he talks about here is Desmond Ridder from Cincinnati.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure some people have seen him. You know, they're on TV here a fair amount.
His career numbers 6,900 passing yards, 57 touchdowns, 20 interceptions. And 1,800 rushing yards and 22 touchdowns.
Yeah, he's a true dual threat guy too.
That's what you're seeing more of. You know, these are the guys. He's 6'4", 215.
Mm-hmm.
So he's got a little bit more of the size.
He's got some toughness to him as well. And you know, he's interesting. I don't know a ton about these guys yet. I mean, pure strengths and weaknesses, but they're names people need to know.
They play September 18th at Indiana.
Okay.
And then they play October 2nd at Notre Dame.
Wow.
So you'll get a good look at him against Indiana's was good last year. I can't imagine
they were. I think they fall completely.
Yeah, I think they'll be pretty tough again on defense.
They're
this
a Big
year.
Ten team.
Yeah.
Anyway, you cut it.
And then Notre Dame. That'll be a big game for Cincinnati as well.
They got pros everywhere too.
Yeah.
But those are the games. Not that you don't want to watch when they beat up on bad teams, but if you watch four games, you'd like to space them out over the course of the year. Try to find their toughest games for sure, their most competitive ones, where, you know, it's not as easy for them.
Yeah. The next guy he brings up is Dustin Crum of Kent State.
He's one I saw this article and didn't know a ton about him other than just his name. But these MAC local guys, you know the Steelers will be super dialed in on.
Yeah, for sure. In 425 career passes, he's thrown four interceptions.
Mm.
So he takes good care of the football. He's 6'3", 207. Completed 73% of his passes last year.
Okay.
So very accurate.
Yeah, yeah.
Interested to see what kind of offense. I don't know what kind of offense Kent
State
runs.
No, I don't either. Off the top of
right. But this year, they play the first 3 weeks of the year.
I bet they have a murderer's row.
They go to Texas A&M and Iowa.
Yeah.
In two of the first 3 weeks.
That's
they
what
also
MAC
play,
teams do.
They also play Maryland by the end of the September.
Really? Okay.
So they're playing three pretty...
Oh, yeah, some steep ones.
Yeah.
And even the MAC games will be worth watching, too.
Yeah,
without question.
For sure.
They play Akron and Toledo and those guys, too.
But, so September's going to be for a lot of these quarterbacks because they're small school guys. That's what the crazy thing about this is
right.
that, okay, Rattlers at Oklahoma, that's fine.
They play the Kent States in week one.
Yeah.
And they'll be favored
but
by
most
30.
Most of these guys are at, you know, there's not the quarterback from Alabama or the quarterback from Florida or Ohio State.
Right.
These are,
they all graduated.
These are guys that are in the Roethlisberger situation.
Mm-hmm. Which is tough.
Yeah.
I mean, everyone knows that every eye is on you. You know, you're going to be at a disadvantage without question in week one, week two. And you hope you don't dig yourself too big a hole, let alone, I mean, maybe you can really shine and pull off an upset or be the best player on the field. But you're definitely, there'll be a lot of eyes in those stadiums. There'll be a lot of scouts in the press box for those games.
He mentions Grayson McCall of Coastal Carolina is his final guy to keep an eye on.
He's another one I don't know a ton about. But there are four or five others that he didn't mention that are atop most lists.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting to see. Wouldn't surprise me if the Steelers at some point draft one of these guys.
Well, yeah, it could be the first-round pick.
Yeah, it could be the first-round pick. Could be a second-round pick. As you know, again, you go into next year, you have your bridge, and you let that guy learn.
Yeah, it's for a possibility.
A year. You know, we'll see. I don't know.
Judging the stock of these guys is crazy at this point. We have no clue.
It really is.
Oh, you can get him in a second. You have no idea yet.
You have none.
No.
None.
There's a kid at Miami, King, who's been in the league a lot. He's been around a long time. There's real mixed opinions on him, but some people seem to love him. He's also the athletic type.
Super athletic, yeah.
I think he's under 6 foot. Don't quote me on that, but I think he's small. USC has a kid, Slovis.
Yeah.
Who's super high profile, USC, golden boy, yada, yada. Doesn't have a very good arm. I mean, from what I've seen of him, he's a Pennington type, which would not be high on my list for this area of the country. You know, I mean, I think you want a guy that can cut the wind. And I forget the name of the transfer from USC that went to Georgia because Slovis beat him out. But he was a super recruit, and he's got a lot of ability. And I forget who that is off the top of my head. I should know that name. But he could be one of those dudes that is easily a first-round type of guy. So
Here's Kuiper's top 10.
Okay, good. They'll be on.
These guys are on here. So it's Spencer. He has Spencer, actually, Rattler number one.
A lot of people have him first overall pick in the draft.
He probably will end up being that guy, although there's some other guys.
Maybe the Jags get it or Jets and take Thibodeau out of Oregon or, you know.
Sam Howell from North Carolina, Malik Willis of Liberty, Carson Strong, Nevada, Desmond Ridder of Cincinnati, Slovis, he has six, Keaton Slovis from USC. JT Daniels is the
That's
guy
I was talking about, yeah.
Georgia.
He has more ability than Slovis.
Yeah. Phil Jurkovic from Boston College, the Pine Richland kid.
Interesting dude. There's a there was a video out that I watched of him that was pretty impressive. He's really tough in the pocket.
He's got a big arm.
They don't have a lot of athletes to throw to, as usually the case at BC, but he stands in there and goes through his progressions. He's interesting.
Yeah. Jaden Daniels from Arizona State.
Yeah, I know the name, but not a lot about him.
And then Emory Jones out of Florida. Emory Jones.
I think he, actually, I'm certain, there's like no tape on him because Kyle Trask was the guy.
Yeah.
He was used sparingly in kind of a slash role here and there because he's such a good athlete, they need to get him on the field. But there's like super high expectations, but he's really an unknown.
Yeah. I mean, he'll be like
he could be the first pick in the draft, or he could be
in a situation like Haskins was, where you're a one year starter at Ohio State and you end up being a first round draft pick.
Or he could be Jamie Newman that isn't even a league yet, just a rookie year. You know, I mean, there's a lot of outcomes for a guy like that.
But it's, as Mel says, it's another strong class of guys.
Doesn't look super top heavy yet, but it looks like there's a lot of names.
A couple of these guys will separate themselves and end up being top five picks.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, we were talking about this last night. We had dinner together last night, and we were talking about who's going to be the – we were watching the Lions play the Bills and I'm like, the Lions are going to be awful.
Oh, it would be terrible, yeah.
Well, they would be in the market for a quarterback potentially. Oh, they're not married to Goff.
No, they took him as a contract thing and see how it goes. I mean, a couple teams won't. I mean, I don't think –
Houston's definitely going to be in the quarterback market.
They'll definitely be in the
quarterback
market.
And I think those are your two teams that they're finishing
somewhere
in the top three.
Vegas. Yeah.
They're going to be in the top three picks.
I would imagine since.
But if the Jets are there,
the
Jaguars.
They're
not in the quarterback market.
Highly unlikely.
Yeah.
You know, they would take Thibodeau or one of these other position players or somebody like that. Thibodeau's a Chase. I keep mentioning him. He's a Chase Young-like defensive end edge guy that's probably not going to fall out of the top three.
Yeah. If you look at the other teams that could be in that top, could the Eagles be in the top six and be in the quarterback market? Sure.
Especially if they have three first-round picks.
Yeah. Could the Giants be in that
yes.
spot?
Yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And could have really soured on Daniel Jones. I think the Raiders could be, too.
The Raiders.
I don't know that they're
You always
good.
Put the Raiders in that market for quarterbacks just because of who the coach is, and that's what he does.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't think Green Bay would be with Rodgers left. I think you still hand it over to.
We'll see what Jordan Love looks like in the in this preseason.
He still has not played a snap in the NFL. I think he plays today, something like that.
Yeah.
I mean, could a Seattle or a team like that, if they lose their star, all of a sudden be in the market? Absolutely.
Well, if that means then Russell Wilson's available.
Right. I mean, he fell some other – he goes to Carolina or Pittsburgh or who knows. Yeah. You know, right.
That's one that's kind of flying under the radar. Somebody did – I think it was Dan Graziano did a thing of who – he went with like 15 teams who could be in the quarterback market next year and who the potential starter would be. And he had Rodgers or Wilson potentially being in Pittsburgh.
Mm.
Because they have the cap space.
Because they have the cap space, right. It'd be an attractive destination for the player.
To me, I'd be – now, if you want to talk about trading a couple of first-round picks for Russell Wilson, I'm in on that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, he's 32 years old. You're going to get 6 or 7 years out of him.
Yeah.
You know, so that would be
– Well, the two teams we didn't mention that will be in the quarterback market probably no matter what is Denver and Washington.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going to be with the Steelers in terms of most needy teams no matter how their season goes. Tampa should be –
But they're not going to be in a position to do it.
They drafted Trask, but still.
Yeah, that's not.
Brady would have to fall off a cliff, probably.
Yeah.
But they could crumble quick.
Yeah, it could fall apart very quickly for them. But it's just interesting guys to keep an eye on.
Miami could be. I mean, there's a lot of teams that you don't have to squint real hard to say, what if this guy doesn't
New Orleans,
work out?
You know.
New Orleans for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, they could easily be in it.
So
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Carolina. That whole division.
So there'll be a lot of teams jockeying to get some of these quarterbacks,
as always.
So it's always interesting to watch, and well, with college games starting here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
so.
We just need to keep mentioning them throughout the season.
Absolutely,
just let everyone know who the names are when you're sitting around Saturday. Should I watch North Carolina or should I watch Wake Forest?
Cincinnati against
whoever. Cincinnati game.
Yeah, watch the Cincinnati game.
Right, right.
Or if Liberty's on TV, watch Liberty.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. So. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. You're listening to The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's time for the Fantasy Football Focus.
Oh, baby.
We'll do that right after this.
Black and gold football lives here 24/7. You're listening to SNR.
Welcome back. I'm Dale Lally here with Matt Williamson. It's time for the Fantasy Football Focus. And
all right.
As we've done here, we are doing this on FantasyPros.com Draft Wizard. We're going to do a 10-team draft, Matt.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Picking from the four spot. I want to do this because this is where I'm going to be at.
You mentioned this last night. Yeah. I see what you're up to.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just I've been running this through.
I don't respect your 10-team league.
I don't like the 10-team league either. We usually had 12. We had a couple of guys drop out, and we've not been able to replace them.
Gotcha.
So it is.
Don't invite me, or I'll take all your money.
So
here we go.
Okay, so the teams are Fant Man.
Nice.
The Krispy Kremes.
Good.
And very nice. Livin' Lavishkin Loca. We've had that one before,
but still strong work. Four, right?
Number five is Jamarkin' Me Crazy. Number six is Sir Isaac Newton.
Nice.
Number seven is Yes We Cam. So Cam getting
back to back, right?
Number eight is Hey Darnold. Do you remember the old TV show Hey Arnold? Number nine is Paranormal Camtivity.
Is that another Cam?
Another Cam.
Wow, he's got three teams in this one.
How about that? Number 10 is Don't Mond If I Do.
Okie doke.
There we go. So those are your team names. With the four spot, the first three picks were McCaffrey, Cook, Kamara.
Yeah.
I don't like that.
I mean, I think the top two go top two no matter what.
Yeah.
I don't like the 3-4 neighborhood at all. I think Kamara's intriguing, but I still have concerns about just how good the offense were going to be. I think I'd go Henry. I assume it's PPR, right?
PPR.
Which hurts his cause.
Hurts his cause. We talked about this a little bit last night. Aaron Jones has finished in the top five in running back scoring in each of the last two seasons.
Yep.
Jamal Williams isn't there anymore.
Nope. Dylan is, but he was there last year.
But is Dylan going to cut into Jones's catch totals?
I think Jones's catch
Williams
totals go
did.
Up. Oh, without question. He's great in protection. Coaches love him. He's on the field and throwing downs a lot. Jones has put up a lot of touchdowns over the last couple of years. Does that go back to the mean, or does Dylan steal them? I don't know. I mean, it's worked. Why would they change it? You know what I mean?
You know, Aaron Rodgers, you know, is going to throw the football to him. They still don't
have a good offense.
They still don't have a true number two receiver.
No, I think he's going to catch a lot of passes this year.
You could make the argument that he's the number two receiver in this offense.
Yep. I think Zeke and Barkley are worth mentioning, too.
They're definitely worth mentioning there as well. I feel better about Zeke than I do Barkley.
For where they're at right this minute? Yeah, he sure seems like he's in a lot better shape physically.
And I know Zeke's going to catch passes.
Oh, yeah. Barkley will, too.
Yeah. I know Henry isn't.
Isn't.
I don't trust Derrick Henry. I just don't.
I think Henry's the slam dunk pick there, but he would worry me to no end. Yeah. I think he has a good chance to be a really good offense. His track record the last couple of years is impeccable. I just think he's due to let you down, you know, and he doesn't catch the ball. I'm cool with Jones.
Well, to me, it comes down to Jones or Elliott are the guys that I look at there, just because it's a PPR.
Mm-hmm. Two really good offenses.
If you look at the point projection totals, they project Ezekiel Elliott with 279. They project Jones with 277. They project Henry with 295.
Mm-hmm. Which, if you're doing projections, I mean, I don't know how you would not project Henry to be above those guys.
Here's the thing. They also project Austin Ekeler with 286.
He could catch more balls than all of them.
He's never carried a ball more than 130 times in a season.
Mm-hmm.
And he's never scored more than three rushing
touchdowns. Touchdowns are a problem.
That's a problem for me. I can't take him at four.
No. I agree. I don't like the dilemma. Yeah, I don't like the dilemma.
It's not where you want... This is a 12-team if it's a 12-team draft, it's a 16-team draft. It's the same conundrum at four, no matter what.
I 100% agree. And Kamara doesn't make me do cartwheels at three.
No. You know?
I don't think the difference between 3 and 12 is much different.
I don't believe that there is.
You know, like, is Najee much different than these guys? Not really.
Yeah. I'm kind of when I got that news, I was like, "Oh, I don't want to be there."
Yeah.
It's not where I'm. That's the last place I wanted to be in the draft.
Me too. I would much rather be 5, 6, 7, and
let somebody else make that decision.
Right, and just take whoever one they don't take out of that group we just mentioned. So you got to make a decision.
I got to make a decision. I'm going to take Aaron Jones.
Okay, I thought you were leaning that way. I'm fine with it.
I don't know that that's going to be my pick, but
oh, by the way, this gave him a lot of money.
They're going to use him.
Yeah.
So the picks after that: Henry went 5th, Barkley 6th, Elliott 7th. Devontae Adams, 8. Nick Chubb, 9. Ekeler, 10. Then Stephon Diggs, Jonathan Taylor, Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, Najee Harris went 2-5. Patrick Mahomes, 2-6.
Okay.
I'm not upset by that.
No, there was a handful of receivers and a quarterback that went there that should make you happy.
Because that leaves Antonio Gibson still sitting there.
Yeah.
Like that.
I didn't tell you this, but I did my very, very, very preliminary fantasy ranks like a day or two ago. I think I have Gibson as like my 7th running back. I have him just above Harris.
Yeah. To me, that's an easy pick.
Yeah, I think so too. The upside's immense.
So you got one running back, you know exactly what he is.
Mm-hmm.
The other running back, you think he can be a similar type player to that guy.
He might go ahead of Jones next year.
Right.
Yeah, he might go ahead of you hope all not. These guys. Well, in a way.
In a way.
Right.
But
right.
You hope that they're close.
But if he catches McKissick kind of numbers,
yeah,
he's going to be a top 5 pick all day long.
Now I'm a little bummed out because the top 3 picks of the 3rd round were Calvin Ridley, A.J. Brown, Darren Waller.
Yeah, that's a good
I was kind of hoping Waller would fall to that spot. Didn't happen.
How about Kittle?
I don't love Kittle. I just don't.
Because of injuries?
The injury history is just – if you give me a choice between Kittle in round 3 or, say, Hawkinson in round 5,
okay,
I think they're going to have similar numbers. I think Hawkinson's going to catch 80 passes this year.
Yeah. I don't doubt that either.
I'm a big Hawkinson fan. Round 5.
Yeah.
I'll take either one of those guys in round 5 as opposed to taking, you know, using the draft capital on Kittle here.
But you would have taken Waller?
I would have taken Waller because he doesn't get hurt.
No, Waller's
he's,
great.
He's a receiver.
Waller's ahead of
Whereas
Kittle
Whereas Kittle will line up in line and block.
Oh, he throws.
And he's going to get
he
hurt.
He takes a beating.
Yeah, he's going to get hurt.
And that's the dilemma I'm having, though, is with my 3rd pick, if it's Kittle versus waiting and taking a Hawk or one of those guys. Yeah. I'm not sure what I want to do yet.
Now, the interesting thing here is, though, Justin Jefferson is available.
That's hard to pass up.
That's hard to pass up. The other guys, Keenan Allen, well, I like Jefferson better.
Me too.
Kittle, I like Jefferson better. Allen Robinson, I like Jefferson better.
I like Jefferson better.
The running back still.
I don't think what he did was fluky at all.
No. The running backs are Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
He's still in my top tier, or my number one tier.
DeAndre Swift.
Okay. I like
David Montgomery, Chris Carson. I don't think any of those guys are as good as Jefferson.
I don't either. You're not going to get any of those guys, though. I mean, you realize that. They won't be there.
But I'll find somebody.
Take ATN or, you know,
whoever. Someone of that name.
Right.
Yeah,
you especially in a 10-teamer, the running back demands on
10 teams changes the dynamic.
It really does.
A great deal.
There's a difference between starting 20 running backs and 24.
Yeah.
It's not as big a deal receiver, obviously.
Okay.
And even tight end. I mean,
yeah. We're in round four now. The top suggestions, Robert Woods, who I think is going to have a big year.
I do, too. I've actually had him much higher than I thought I would when I did my ranks.
Amari Cooper.
I had him ahead of Cooper.
T.J. Hockenson.
Interesting.
D.J. Moore. The top running backs available now. Swift, David Montgomery, Chris Carson, Miles Sanders. So that didn't really get picked over that
no.
much.
I would bet one of them will actually be there with your fourth pick if you want. If you think all those running backs are basically equal. I like Swift a little more than the others, but they're all in the same tier.
The wide receivers are Woods, Cooper, Moore, Kupp. Who else? Deontay Johnson.
Woods would clearly be my one there.
Yeah, I think Woods is the pick there. I think that's going to be your number two. You're going to be your top four guys. Really, in every draft, what you want to do is have that core four.
Oh, it's a nice way to start.
It's a nice way to start.
Because then your picks after that, you can take best available.
Yeah.
I tweeted this out just like 2 days ago. Didn't realize it, but Woods' rushing potential or production over the last 2 years, he's got like just under 300 yards and like four touchdowns as a runner.
As a runner.
And that's not going to go away. You don't think of him in that light.
And he's got
a
much better quarterback.
Yeah, I would be very happy with
Woods.
He's
the pick. Robert Woods is the pick.
He's super consistent, too.
Yeah. You can pencil him in right now for 80 catches and 1,000 yards.
Oh, he'll have 1,000 yards, yeah.
Okay, now we're back up again. The top guy available, DJ Moore, Deontay Johnson, TJ Hockenson.
See, this is a spot I'd kind of make a splash pick, either a tight end or a running back.
I think Hockenson,
I'd be perfectly fine with that, right?
I think he's going to blow up. They don't have anybody else.
No, I loved him coming out of school. I hadn't changed that opinion of him at all, and he's going to catch a lot of balls.
Yeah.
Goff has a pretty good history throwing tight ends.
Back up on the clock here again, and the top guy suggested is Kyler Murray. Still
pretty
available.
Good this late. I'm sure quarterbacks fall in 10-teamers more than 12.
Here are the guys still available. It's round six. Kyler Murray, Dak Prescott, Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson.
So you definitely get one around the turn.
Yeah, that's a pretty nice group to be picking out of.
I was actually watching Arizona on NFL Network last night thinking – I think I want more and more of this offense. You know, like Rondell Moore, and you're getting good reports on A.J. Green, and Hopkins isn't going to change. That
he
line's better
run.
Than people think.
Yeah.
Right. I think Kyler's ahead of Dak and those others pretty substantially.
The running back still available, Travis Etienne.
Yeah, I like that.
Mike Davis, Josh Jacobs, Miles Gaskin.
Etienne's my favorite of those, especially as a third guy. That
Kareem Hunt, Chase Edmonds. So that's starting to dry up a little bit.
I think you better take a running back now or your next pick.
Yeah, because I can play that guy in a flex spot.
Oh, right.
Yeah. You like ATN or Davis better?
ATN.
Yeah. ATN is the pick.
Okay. So you're not going to go Kyler.
We'll see what's available, and then Kyler just went.
Okay. I'll say you have only three owners there. How many guys already have quarterbacks?
Well, that still leaves you as Dak Prescott as the nice fallback option.
I think he's the last of the tier one guys.
And he's the pick in the seventh round.
There you go. I'd be less apt to go quarterback high in a 10-teamer, but, he's still different than the remaining guys to me.
Round eight, you're looking at Tyler Boyd, Deebo Samuel, Brandon Cooks, Kareem Hunt. I don't like any of those.
Nah, no one's – they're all fine.
Antonio Brown is still available. Antonio Brown is the pick, and that's my
– I know –
you get him five rounds later than the other guys –
from Tampa?
Yeah.
It's crazy, yeah.
And he was on pace for 90 catches last year.
You're taking him ahead of Boyd and those guys?
Yep.
Yeah, okay.
I think there's a potential for just to blow up this year.
Top he's still really good, by the way.
I'm going to start loading up on running backs here. Javonte Williams is still available.
Oh, he's a perfect
Javonte
guy for
Williams
you to grab him,
is the
right.
pick, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Piece of cake. Round 10. Michael Carter still available.
Similar
player.
I think he'll be the one there.
I'm taking him.
If you're getting a one back.
In round 10?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Even off a bad team, that's even better because he's going to catch
he'll
passes.
He'll catch passes. And I don't think their offense will stink either.
How about this? Do I go running back again here because we're in round 11? A.J. Dillon's still available.
Mm.
I protect myself a little bit.
I like him there.
And he'll be a usable handcuff.
That. Yeah, he's somebody I've targeted too just because I think he's good.
Yeah, he's the pick. So all right. I don't need to take any more running backs.
No, I think you're fine there.
I've got three.
You got a
valuable,
nice monopoly there.
Yeah.
Be in the receiver market, though.
I'm in the receiver market now. Elijah Moore, T.Y. Hilton, Russell Gage, Nelson Aguilar. That's not pretty.
No, I like Moore the best of those guys.
Yeah,
that's
like
a pretty thin
well.
Crop, though.
Yeah.
Yikes.
But I can trade one of those backs at some point.
Yeah, I mean, you got assets.
Yeah.
It's never bad to be heavily invested in the running back market.
Look here in round 13, who's my backup quarterback? Ryan Tannehill, Joe Burrow still available.
Pretty good.
Yeah, that's not bad. I'll take Burrow.
Yeah.
I like Burrow a little bit better than Tannehill. Moving on to round 14 real quick here. We're looking at a situation where I'm going to go defense here.
Okay.
Baltimore, Washington, Tampa Bay are all available.
Washington and Tampa Bay, when I did my defensive rankings, I had the Steelers, Tampa Bay, and Washington as my clear top three.
I'm taking Tampa. They get the
they have a pretty easy schedule, too.
In this, the division that they play in.
Oh, it's great for them.
Yeah, it's great for playing against quarterbacks. Now I'm going to go kicker in round 15. I'm going to go early on that and take Justin Tucker.
Yeah, if you're going to get a stud, okay.
Yeah. And then you get that. Round 16, I can just take best available player.
Could be a tight end. You don't have a backup tight end.
I don't have a backup tight end. And the backup tight end's available. Evan Engram, Adam Trautman, Hunter Henry, Cole Kmet.
I kind of like Trautman and Engram more than most people seem to this year.
Yeah. I'm going to take Engram and roll the dice.
I think Ingram's going to be on a lot of my teams. I mean, he has a lot to play for this year, and he has a lot of talent.
Oh, the fantasy experts do not like that draft, probably because I took Aaron Jones over Derrick Henry.
You probably put a bad taste in their mouth at the start. You also went so heavy on running backs.
Yeah.
Maybe they didn't.
But that's what you do.
That's what
tradable
I do.
Commodities.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. But that's going to do it for Fantasy Football Focus. He is Matt Williamson. I'm Dale Lally. We appreciate you listening to this edition of The Drive here on Steelers Nation Radio. We'd like to thank Brian LaMartina for keeping us on the air throughout the course of the show. And we'd like to thank you for listening. We'll be back again tomorrow.
From Bradshaw and the Steel Curtain to Roethlisberger and Blitzberg, we are always talking black and gold on SNR.